But sometimes your more extroverted partner won't trust that you mean something unless the volume is up. Practice saying anything that pops into your mind. Don't always rehearse. Allow pauses. It's okay not to keep up with your extroverted partner's non-stop pace. Tell your partner you know it is difficult for him or her, that you take time to make decisions, and that you don't always say what's on your mind. Write down your feelings on paper and give it to your partner if you feel strongly about an issue but have trouble talking about it. Don't worry if you get overstimulated during or after a disagreement. It's not a bad thing to have feelings. In any case, they will pass. Tell your partner how you feel about him or her. It's easy to forget this. Your partner wants to hear he or she is cared about. So leave notes and emails, lavish kisses, and don't forget to give compliments. Tip 4. Take turns getting your way. No relationship goes well if one person gets his or her way all the time. Relationships flow gracefully if both partners feel they are getting some of what they want. Otherwise, resentment builds. At the same time, it's good for everyone to be disappointed at times. It builds good emotional muscles. No one goes through life without experiencing losses or disappointments. The ability to tolerate these feelings, the awareness to think about your reactions and to make choices about how you act, develops an old-fashioned concept called character. People with character can trust themselves, and they have healthy relationships because they know they can withstand life's ups and downs. You can both become healthier partners by giving thought to your needs and wants. Learning how to communicate and negotiate them is the hallmark of a lasting relationship. Let your partner know if you need downtime. Ask if he or she needs uptime. Think about the introverted-extroverted energy differences when making plans. Do not criticize or idealize being an innie or an outie. Learn red flags indicating that your partner is underpowered. For the innie, being irritable or tired. For the outie, being antsy, bored, or shut down from lack of stimulation. Talk about ways to alert each other of low batteries. Let the extroverted partner be the scout in your relationship and introduce new adventures to the introverted partner. Negotiate time spent at social events. Take two cars or arrange for one of you to ride home with friends. Balance doing things together and apart. Acknowledge whenever your partner does something he or she doesn't like to do. Tip 5. Appreciate your differences. I have saved the best tip for last. After 38 years of living with an extrovert, I have learned a valuable lesson: to appreciate our differences. Because Mike has never met a road he didn't want to go down, I have traveled more, including dirt tracks and even a riverbed in the Hawaiian outback, which wasn't covered by car rental insurance. I'm grateful for the opportunity I've had to peek into my partner's extroverted world. He has shown me the serenity of lush golf courses and introduced me to a diverse group of people I would never have met on my own. Mike's temperament has lots to offer. So does mine. I've learned that just because my world is so different from his, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with mine or his. It would be a very dull world if we were all the same. We need all of our strengths and limitations to flesh out life. We grow from enjoying what each of us brings to the party. One of the best ways to keep a relationship healthy is to appreciate each other. Sometimes introverts have a hard time saying they appreciate their partner. They aren't sure why it even needs to be said out loud. And extroverts are so busy going and doing that they may forget to be appreciative at home. Focusing on appreciating your partner works wonders. So each night for a week, choose from one of these topics, jot down your thoughts, and then share them with your partner. Share what you most appreciate about your partner. Describe a mannerism or quality that you find endearing or lovable. Describe one physical characteristic that you really like about your partner. Write about a fun time you had together. Think back on a romantic time you had together and tell how it made you feel. Discuss what you liked best about what your partner did today. After you have each done this for a week, decide if you want to continue for another week. Think up your own topic sentences. If you liked the exercise but decided to stop, talk about your reasons. Sometimes we pull away from good experiences because they are overstimulating. Mind over chatter. There's no end to the things you might know, depending how far beyond zebra you go. Dr. Seuss. Introversion and extroversion affect relationships in many ways. As you understand your own and your partner's temperament, you can increase your awareness about the emotional impact of your different styles. You can each think about how you want to grow your relationship, instead of simply reacting reflexively. Unconscious relationships can produce distance, pain, and missed moments of intimacy. Without mindfulness, we just live out repeated patterns, like hamsters on a treadmill. It is hard to change patterns, but it builds emotional muscles that are yours forever. Sometimes it's even fun. Points to ponder. Dating takes a lot of energy. Remember that it's a process. Everyone looks at the world from his or her own perspective. Each couple combo has advantages and challenges. Conflicts can be settled. You can learn to talk together more easily and to appreciate each other. Chapter 5. Parenting. Are they up from their nap already? Children are not things to be molded, but are people to be unfolded. Jess Lehrer. Parenting is a complex 24-hour-a-day job. It takes a lot of energy and involves dealing with a lot of stress. This is particularly true if the family consists of individuals with a variety of different temperaments. Understanding the importance of the way each person functions, how he or she restores energy and processes information, can improve the family's confidence and ability to work together. When temperaments are not taken into consideration, the family can become underpowered, crabby, and lacking in self-esteem. Everybody ends up feeling bad. The first thing to do is to determine the range of temperaments under your roof. If you have been listening to this book chapter by chapter, you have figured out where you and your partner fall on the innie-outie continuum. If not, go back to chapter 1 and take the self-assessment for introverts test. The previous chapter on relationships can help you to clarify which type of couple you and your partner are. This chapter will complete the family portrait by helping you determine your children's temperaments. The arrival of a new human being. When a new little person enters your life, it can highlight various aspects of your temperament. Lynn, an extroverted woman who normally interacted with many people during her workday, recently had a baby boy, Aaron. She'd been home with her infant son for several weeks when she came to see me. She was really enjoying the baby, but she couldn't figure out why she felt so tired and drained. I asked her if she had much social contact during the day. She said she hadn't seen much of her friends because all of them work. It turns out she was dragging because she was understimulated. I suggested she have short phone chats during the day, or arrange to meet her pals for lunch. Also, I recommended that she take Aaron to a park with lots of other adult-child couples, stroll around the local shopping center, or go to a bustling tea shop for a cup of Earl Grey. The following week, Lynn was much peppier and enjoying Aaron more. Infants stimulate some extroverted moms. They drain others. If you require outside activity, do not feel guilty. As an extrovert, Lynn needs outside stimulation for recharging. Many introverted moms love the fascinating course of caring for an infant and enjoy cocooning with a gurgling baby, preferably one without colic. The quieter pace of mothering allows them an opportunity for home time solitude when they can appreciate their introverted capacities. However, this is not true for every introverted mother. It is important to note your temperament temperature. Focusing 24 hours a day on the needs of another being can be extraordinarily taxing. Introverted moms need to find ways to take breaks and be completely alone, or shift into a relaxing adult activity. I loved being a mom, but I continued to take one or two college courses each semester when my daughters were infants. I needed brain food to balance my mothering time. If you are introverted and need time away from your infant, adjust your schedule accordingly. Don't feel guilty. Find the temperature zone you require and make the time to nurture yourself. Your infant and you will be better for it. Is your child an innie or an outie? With what kind of temperament were your children born? Why will it help you and them to understand their innate traits better? The more you understand your children's nature, the more you can nurture all those qualities to their advantage. In The Challenging Child, Stanley Greenspan, MD, states, "Parents can make a dramatic difference in how children use their wonderfully different natural abilities." As parents, we constantly shape the interplay between nature and nurture. The better you know how to read your children's physical and emotional signals, the more you can help them cope with their own temperament, and the more they will be able to use their temperament for fulfilling and valuable lives. Listen to the following lists and think about your children. They may be quite introverted or quite extroverted or somewhere in between. Notice if you think they feel pressured to be more introverted or extroverted. Remember, because of our strong cultural bias, many children feel pressured to be extroverted. We can all use our non-dominant side, but by doing so, we deplete our energy and end up twice as exhausted. If your children are primarily introverts, they will probably watch and listen before joining an activity. Concentrate deeply on subjects of interest. Enjoy time alone in their room, energized by introspection. Speak after thinking things through. Have a strong sense of personal space and dislike people sitting too close or coming into their room without knocking. Be private and may need to be asked what they are thinking or feeling. Need validation, may have irrational self-doubts. Talk a lot if the topic is interesting or if they are comfortable with the people. If your children are primarily extroverts, they will probably be gregarious and outgoing, except during normal developmental stages. Be energized by interactions and activities. Want to tell you all about their experiences and ideas immediately, covering lots of topics. Think out loud. They'll walk around the house saying, "Where's my ball?" or "I'm looking for my walkie-talkie," as they hunt for those items. They need to talk in order to make decisions. Prefer time with others rather than time alone. Need lots of approval. For example, they need to hear what a good job they are doing or how much you like their gift. Like variety and can be easily distracted. Often volunteer what they are thinking or feeling. It is important to remember that few children are extreme extroverts or introverts, and that sometimes introverts act extroverted and vice versa. See if you can find a pattern of when and how your child is more introverted or more extroverted. Remember, it's not about social skills. It's about how your child recharges his or her energy. For example, my client Kara's daughter, Elizabeth, is in the middle of the continuum. One of the ways Elizabeth's introverted side shows up is that she does not want to talk right after she is picked up from nursery school. Kara told me how she handles her daughter's preference for quiet time. As she buckles Elizabeth into her car seat, Kara gives her one of her favorite books and puts on the audio tape that goes with it. Elizabeth loves to turn the pages of her picture book when the bell rings on the tape. Kara says, "Other days I give her a choice of music. Today we sang a Beatles medley all the way home." After a time, Elizabeth wants to talk and doesn't stop. Understanding your innie child. Children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. Haim Jinot. Introverted children can be deceiving. They think and feel more than they show to the outside world. Puzzling as it sounds, they often know more than they themselves think they know. If they are not helped to understand how their mind works, they can underestimate their own powerful potential. Introverted children learn by taking in information and then needing quiet time to process it, to integrate all of what they observed, heard, and absorbed. When they finally have their thoughts formulated, they can take action or talk about their ideas and impressions. In fact, talking can help them understand how their mind operates. Interrupting causes them to lose their place, and they have to exert extra energy and concentration to retrieve their thoughts. Remember the long brain pathway in introverts? If introverted children don't have time and physical space to shut out other stimulation, they can zone out and become unable to think. Most activities require an outlay of energy for introverted children. If you teach them to recharge their batteries, they can thrive. Here are some of the ways introverted children can process the world and refuel themselves. Find private time. Introverted children need private time built into their daily schedules. During private time, they expend less energy. Private time is created by being alone or with one or two people around whom your child feels relaxed, or just stepping outside of the group. Children also need extra breaks during highly stimulating activities. In our Western culture, where extroversion is valued and many activities for children are group experiences, it is extra important for introverted children to have alone time. Being in a bad mood is often a sign they need time out. Maybe the reason Oscar on Sesame Street is always so grouchy is because he needs more quiet time in his garbage can. When my client Bob was 9, he had a too large birthday party, 30 kids, and too much excitement. His folks had already given him a frisky black and white puppy as a gift, and Bob remembers feeling crowded in when the party started. He told me, "I didn't want anyone to touch my puppy. I named him Spider-Man. I wanted everyone to go home. I felt like ants were crawling under the skin of my arms. I ran up to my bedroom crying, and I stayed there for a while. My dad brought Spider-Man upstairs and talked softly to me for a few minutes. I relaxed, and the ants marched away." When Bob finally came back downstairs for cake and ice cream, he was like another child, a smiling host. Spider-Man stayed upstairs for the remainder of the party. In subsequent years, Bob's parents threw smaller parties for him. Introverted kids often need help learning when and how to take a break. They don't know they need one, aren't familiar with taking one, or don't want to leave the group. This is why it is so important for parents to know their child. They have to be sensitive enough to notice if their son or daughter is zoning out, getting crabby, or withdrawing. At a gathering, if you see your child glazing over, you might suggest, "It's so noisy and there are so many people in here. Let's walk in the backyard for a few minutes." If you see he is getting crabby, try something like, "I'd like you to help me bring out the dessert. We'll come back in just a few minutes." Or, "You look a little pooped. Let's stroll down the block and see what the other houses on the street look like." A grouchy child often objects to being told she needs a break. So he or she may need to be enticed to do something else for a few minutes. Later you can say, "I noticed you needed a little break from all the kids." Help your children notice that they felt better after they had some private time. They need to be reminded that they can return in 5 minutes feeling better, and that then they will enjoy their friends even more. Megan is a lively 5-year-old. In nursery school, it was her turn to be the student of the week, the special child who gets celebrated at a little program. The pressure of being the center of attention agitated Megan, and she flung herself on the floor and rolled about. Her parents, who had been invited to the event, were embarrassed and shocked. When her dad handed her the award, Megan tried to yank it out of his hands. Later, when her parents and I talked about the possible reasons for this reaction, I asked if they thought she might have been overstimulated. I also asked them to talk to Megan about what happened and ask her how they could have helped her. The next week, her parents were tickled to report that Megan knew that she had been overexcited. She told them, "My tummy hurt a little, and I needed to go outside for a minute." She also told her mom, "I wanted you to tell me, honey, be calm, be calm." Introverted kids are often insightful if they are asked what they need, and if they are confident that what they need is okay. Your guidance can help introverted children stay energized and happy. Talk to them about their need to take breaks. Some children actually ask for one. Pick a time when they are relaxed and you are alone together. The more you express the idea that breaks are good, the more they will think so too. You might say, "Have you noticed how some children are very peppy when they are around friends? They can play all day and never get tired, like your brother Sam. Other children enjoy their friends but need to take little breaks when they are playing. That's how you are, Cammy. You need a break to give your body energy and to take some big deep breaths. Otherwise, you might start to feel tired or a little crabby." Ask your children if they have ever noticed when they needed some time off. Pause to let them respond. Remind them of a specific time when they were tired or overwhelmed if they can't think of one. Give them an example of someone who takes breaks. For example, "Have you ever noticed how Susan plays for a while and then sits and watches for a few minutes? When you start to feel a little tired, here's what you could say to your friends. I'm going to sit down for a few minutes. I'll be right back." Or, "I need to go check on something. I'll be back in a few minutes." Ask your children if they can think of any other ways to tell friends about breaks. Praise their suggestions. It is important to help children transition back into the play. Most introverted boys and girls need to watch for a few minutes before they enter or re-enter an activity. Tell them, "It's okay to watch for a while before you go back to the group." Research shows that the best way to enter a group is to make eye contact with one person and smile at him or her, join the flow of play without drawing attention to yourself, and then ask a relevant question. For example, say, If your friends are playing chase, see if you can catch Sam's eye, smile, and then ask him which way you should run. Praise your child's effort to join into activities. Later, discuss what seemed to work and what didn't. Provide a private space. Introverted children need their own physical space to make an actual barrier between their bodies and the outside world. There are several reasons for this. First, in order to process their thoughts and feelings, they need help to block out external stimulation enough so they can turn inward. Second, just being around people and activity drains introverts' batteries. It is very hard for extroverts to understand or imagine this. Third, introverts cannot generate new energy unless the external environment is shut out. I had been working with an introverted 10-year-old boy, Jeffrey, in psychotherapy for several months. His parents were worried because he either withdrew or suddenly blew up for no apparent reason. We were playing Sorry when, out of the clear blue sky, he said, "I hate sharing a room with Michael. I like peace and quiet." "Oh, you do?" I asked. "Sounds like you have been thinking about this." The family's house had four bedrooms, and one of them had been turned into a playroom. As a result, Jeffrey was sharing with Michael, his extroverted brother. Jeffrey continued, "Well, Michael could move into the playroom." I suggested, "Maybe you could draw a picture of how you see his room and your room." Excitedly, Jeffrey hunched over the paper and drew the rooms. It was obvious he had been planning this out in his mind for some time, anticipating every objection his parents might have. He hadn't brought it up to me until he had it all mapped out. After he told me his plan, he was able to talk to his extroverted parents, with his drawing for support, about his needs for his own space. Michael moved into the playroom, and almost immediately, Jeffrey's sluggish energy improved and his temper outbursts abated. He had the peace and quiet his temperament needed so badly. Introverted children show their need for physical contact in many ways. Like all children, they can enjoy being held or hugged. At other times, when they feel overstimulated, they may require distance. They might whine in the car if they are tired, "He's touching my leg." In a group, they often like to be at the back, front, or edge of the pack, rather than in the center. Instead of sharing seats on a sofa, they might like their own separate chair. Sometimes they might pull away if you touch them. Don't take it personally. Enjoy the times they want to cuddle, and accept those times they feel the need to reduce outside stimulation. I remember a time when my mother and I had been train traveling together off and on for several weeks. One day, her leg touched mine, and my skin felt singed. I yanked my leg away. She was angry with me for being so touchy. I felt bad about upsetting her, but after so much time without privacy, the lightest touch was too much. Introverts feel drained by having their physical space intruded upon. It takes energy for them to be around people, even if they are not interacting with them. This is very hard for extroverts to grasp, since space is not an issue for them. Cozying up doesn't require energy. Standing or sitting too close to introverts, or entering unannounced a room they are in, sucks up their energy. My client Kristen scratched, "Don't come in," on her bedroom door when she was about six. She was surprised and amused when her daughter Katie, at about the same age, asked Kristen how to spell "don't come in." Katie wrote it on a little blackboard, hung it on her doorknob, and shut the door. Later, Kristen smiled at Katie and said, "I know how you feel." Giving introverts space is giving them energy. Talk to your children about sharing physical space. You may say, "I know sometimes you feel antsy or drained if you are crowded by other people." The most important thing is to acknowledge that you understand that they may feel uncomfortable. For example, we will be driving to the museum with Aunt Tina and Christopher. It will take about an hour to get there. I know you sometimes feel uncomfortable sitting so close for that long. What do you think might help you? It's amazing how often children come up with great ideas. But in case nothing is forthcoming, suggest some ideas. For example, would it help if we tucked a pillow between the two of you? What do you think? If you are on a long car ride, talk to the children about private space. Stop periodically to get out and walk around, and take turns sitting in different seats. Suggest that they take a deep breath and relax if they start to feel uneasy. Help them focus on something besides their body. Give them headphones so they can listen to stories or music. Provide a sticker book so they can work alone, or play a game like 20 Questions. Remind them that the car ride won't last forever. Discuss with your child the idea that all children have an invisible circle of space around them, small or large. Explain that your child usually has a large circle, which means he feels uncomfortable with people being too close. Being around other people, especially if they enter his or her personal circle, can cause your child to feel drained and tired. To find out what size personal space circle each individual in your family has, try this exercise. Have each person stand on your driveway or sidewalk. Then have someone who is not a family member walk toward him. When the family member, say it's your son, begins to feel like backing up, instruct him to say, "Stop." With sidewalk chalk, mark the spot where he is standing. Then draw a circle around him using the mark as a radius. Each person in the family will probably have a different size circle. That is his or her personal space zone. Your introverted sons will probably be large. Explain to your child about his need for private space. Tell him that sometimes he may want to share his space circle and sometimes not. Suggest that he let his friends know he needs space by saying something like, "Could you move over just a bit? Thank you." Or, "I like us to sit together on the swing, but could you move over a tiny bit? I feel scrunched. Thanks." Help your child notice when he feels crowded so he can create some room before he gets crabby. Ask him, "How did you feel when Quentin sat so close to you?" Then, "Next time you feel like that, what could you do? Could you move to another spot?" Don't forget to praise your child when you see him tolerating discomfort. For instance, "I know the car gets cramped for you sometimes, but you did so well today." Allow time to reflect. Introverts need time to cogitate without the pressure to do something. Many introverts are called lazy because they require reflection periods. Parents get irritated and ask them, "What are you doing lolling around?" But in addition to using downtime to store energy, introverts use it to ponder. Besides storing energy, why do introverts need this pressure-free zone? Introverts absorb information from the outside world both consciously and unconsciously. Unless they can reduce outside stimulation, their inner thoughts, feelings, and impressions will never bubble up to the surface. Without processing time, their minds become clogged and overloaded. Thus, many introverts end up feeling there is nothing in their brain. The fact is, there's a lot in there. It just isn't sorted and sifted. When introverted kids feel their mind go blank, it can cause lots of confusion and embarrassment. You can help by making simple statements to explain what is going on, such as, "Right now you don't know how you feel, but you will later." Remind them that they can count on their brain to be working, even if they aren't aware of it. For instance, "I bet your mind will be munching and crunching on that assignment, and by tomorrow you will have some ideas." Point out when they have come to conclusions and solutions. For instance, "It sounds like you thought about that book. Then now you can explain what you like and don't like about it. Since extroverts like to talk about problems in order to work them out, they often get irritated at introverts for withholding. They will say, "Spit it out." Teach your introverted boy or girl to say, "I'm still mulling it over." If your child is one of those introverts who likes to think out loud about a topic, it is best just to listen and then give him or her feedback about what you heard, such as, "So let me see if I got this right, Alicia. You have considered several ideas for your science project, and you have narrowed your choices down to two. Would you like to discuss them now or another time?" Reflecting back to introverted children helps them continue to problem solve without getting overwhelmed. Your children will be better able to use their gifts if you teach them how to be introspective. Suggest that they sit back and let their minds wander. Explain that free time allows their minds a chance to connect the pieces of information they have been gathering. The mind puts the pieces together like a puzzle to form ideas. Ask your children to notice when complete ideas, solutions, and impressions become clear. The more you as the parent appreciate this process, the more your children will. Say, "I see you have been thinking about what you saw yesterday." Ask your child, "Gary, what are your impressions of your new teacher? You can think about your answer for a while if you want." It is important to help your children trust how their minds operate. It may be helpful to talk to your children's teacher and explain their need for reflection. The teacher may not know that people use different pathways in the brain, and that the length of the pathways determines how fast children respond. The teacher could ask students to think over a topic, saying, "We'll discuss this chapter of the book after lunch." He or she might find that many of the quieter ones contribute more when they have had a chance to reflect. Help your children learn to tell people outside the family, "I need to think about that before I answer." Remind them that it is important to follow up with their thoughts. Don't forget to offer praise, such as, "Emily, I really like the way you think things over." Your son or daughter has powerful advantages. If you're an extroverted parent with an introverted child, extroverted parents of introverted children worry a lot. They want their children to do well in life, and they are afraid some of the qualities their children are exhibiting are danger signs. If the child is a boy, the parents often want him to toughen up. As one of my clients described his son, "I think Max needs to see a counselor. He's a good kid, but he's not active or assertive enough. Max takes so long to do anything, even to talk." The extroverted dad added with insight, "Max was private from the very beginning. My other son is much more outgoing." I described to Max's dad the quieter energy of introverts. I explained why Max needs uninterrupted time to answer questions. I could see the tension easing from his dad's face. As he began to see Max's behavior as normal, he began to be able to help him. For example, when his dad told him about plans in advance and let him watch before gradually joining into activities, Max was able to make transitions more smoothly. As a result, Max began to talk more, and his family began to listen. Another client of mine, Haley, who was on the far end of the extroverted continuum, had a 4-year-old son, Ben, who was sensitive and quite introverted. She came to see me because she thought something was very wrong with Ben. She thought he might even be autistic. She couldn't understand why he looked dazed and cried so much. Then, for 10 to 15 minutes, she started describing their days together. It was like running a marathon. Go here, go there, do this, do that. I stopped her as she listed more of the fun things she had planned for their upcoming family outing. Miniature golf, the arcade, and then Chuck E. Cheese for lunch. I was beginning to feel queasy and exhausted myself. In my mind, I could see Ben having a meltdown. I said, "It sounds as if Ben might be a little overstimulated." She asked, "What do you mean?" pausing for the first time since she sat down. I said, "Well, it sounds to me like you are extroverted and Ben is introverted. All of this activity is overstimulating to him. Ben zones out or cries to signal he's had way too much." Haley asked, "What do you mean by overstimulating?" This was not a concept that resonated with her. I explained that Ben was probably feeling as if too much were going on, that he was tired and couldn't think. Haley laughed, "And here I am thinking I am giving him all these great times." Haley, who was newly pregnant, paused for a moment and said, "I wonder what temperament this baby will have." I thought, "We are making progress." I told her that was a good question. It is very important not to overwhelm your child with your energy level. Another extroverted parent talked to me about his daughter, Alexa, saying, "All she does is read in her room. I think it's a serious problem. She's avoiding life." She didn't want to do any of the activities he suggested. He felt she was angry with him. I suggested asking Alexa if he could read with her. At our next meeting, he said he was shocked at how Alexa lit up at his idea. Father and daughter are now reading together weekly, and their relationship has improved considerably. Introverted children may not be as demonstrative as extroverted children. They love you and value you, but they may not talk about it as much. Accept your temperament and your child's. They can't be changed. Both of you have wonderful qualities to contribute to your family and to the world. Correcting the introverted child. Introverted children may be quite sensitive to anger and disapproval. As I mentioned earlier, it is best not to correct them in public. Because it's so painful, they may even shut you out and look as if they don't care. They do care. This doesn't mean you should ignore disruptive behavior. Tell them in a matter-of-fact way what they did that you disapprove of. "I didn't like that you threw sand." Explain why. "It got in Timmy's eyes and hurt him." Tell what to do next. "I want you to apologize to Timmy. Later, let's talk it over and see how you were feeling and why you threw the sand. If you were upset about something, I'm sure we can come up with a better way to express that." Feeling angry or frustrated can be overstimulating for introverted children. They need help learning to manage their feelings, to talk them out and not act them out. As the parent, you need to keep the shaming and blaming at a minimum. Listen again to the section in Chapter 2 about shame and blame and their antidotes. Remember, shame is felt as an attack on the child's core sense of being. He may think, "I yelled at my sister, I am bad, and now Mom won't love me anymore." Guilt is felt as doing something one shouldn't have done. For instance, "I yelled at Corey, Mom won't like it." Give your children space to talk. If they are upset, they may clam up. Check to make sure they aren't brooding over the incident. Tell them you love them. Remind them that everyone makes mistakes, even you. Understanding your outy child. There are no seven wonders of the world in the eyes of a child. There are 7 million. Walt Stratiff. Having people to talk to, getting feedback, thinking out loud, and being busy are all energy sources for extroverted children. Notice how different these are from energy sources that meet the needs of introverts. And remember, extroverts, like introverts, are on a continuum. Some are more extroverted than others, and each is a unique individual with a unique personality. With these ideas in mind, here are some ways to help your extroverted children thrive. Make sure they have people with whom they can talk. Extroverted children need people. They'd have loved the old telephones with party lines where you could join in on a conversation anytime you wanted to. Allowing them to talk, share their experiences, and air their feelings as they occur gives them energy. All this chatting can sometimes be daunting for the family, so help them develop relationships outside of the family. Also, since extroverts can get caught up in the crowd, especially in the teen years, it is important to begin early to help them develop their own individual interests. Studies show that teenagers with strong interests get into less trouble. Think about what sparks their attention and encourage it. Find knowledgeable people they can talk to. If your daughter is interested in photography, for example, perhaps the owner of the local photo store could be a resource. Ask a photographer friend to take her on a photo outing, or subscribe to a photography magazine in her name. Once your children feel well informed, ask them to give a little after-dinner presentation to the family about what is most fascinating to them about their interest. Provide feedback. Extroverted children need feedback. Attaboy, attagirls are important. A few words of positive reinforcement and they are flying high. All children need to be mirrored, to have their personality reflected back to them. But this can be especially important for extroverted children. It helps them have more understanding of their behavior. For instance, I noticed you looked sad when Jacob couldn't play. Let's see if we can make a playdate for tomorrow. Extroverted children are less self-reflective than introverted ones, and they need help to develop this capacity. It is important for them to understand that feelings are not the same as actions. They are internal states, and they can be thought about. I'm feeling nervous. Why? Then they have a choice about what actions they decide to take. Here are some examples of what you could say. I know you wanted a turn, but you waited for Sean to have one first. That was being a good friend. What do you think would happen if you talked the whole time and your friend never got a chance to say anything? I know you were in a hurry, but I liked the way you waited for Kathy to come through the door first. These comments can help children to become less impulsive and develop a capacity for reflection, to learn to think before acting. When delivering feedback, use the Oreo cookie technique. Start with a positive, add any negative, and then finish with another positive. Feedback refuels extroverted children. Let them think out loud. Extroverts think by talking. They need another person to listen to them so they can sort out their thoughts and feelings. They may not need a response, just a sounding board. Ask your children if they would like you just to listen or whether you should ask questions and give suggestions. Even if you only listen, be sure to let your child know how much you like their ideas and questions. Extroverts may talk to themselves out loud, and they may hear themselves better this way. Let extroverts talk about their worries and concerns and share their ideas with you. They are processing out loud. They may also ask a lot of questions. Answer as many as you want, but it's okay to set a limit. For instance, I'll answer two more questions and then I need to fix dinner. Hard as it is for introverts to imagine, extroverted children may study better with the TV or radio on. Keep them active, but schedule quiet time. Stimulation is the name of the game for extroverts. They need to have things to do, places to go, and people to see. Their attitude is, time's a-wasting, let's not twiddle our thumbs and do nothing. Many extroverted children don't want to miss out on anything, which can really be exhausting for parents, even extroverted parents. Schedule quiet time, even if your children don't want to slow down. For example, from 2 to 3 this afternoon, I want you to take a break. You can listen to music or a book on tape or read another chapter of your book. Help them notice the benefits of private time. Perhaps you could say, you look a little more relaxed after your reading break. How does your body feel? If your children are playing alone, daydreaming, or just kicking back, let them know you are glad they can enjoy quiet time. Review your children's activities and make sure they are not overscheduled. Even very extroverted children can do too much. They need opportunities to practice introverting. If you're an introverted parent with an extroverted child. There never was a child so lovely, but his mother was glad to get him to sleep. Ralph Waldo Emerson. For an introverted parent, extroverted children can be a joy and a curse. They are enthusiastic and excited about the world. They want to try everything. They want to sit close and tell you all about their day. Your individual temperaments open the door to a wonderful opportunity for your children to learn early the value of differences. Since your need for physical closeness may be much lower, give them a good hug and tell them that you love them, but that you need a little more space now. Nancy, an introverted mom I interviewed, said, "My daughter Victoria wanted to participate in all the school's activities. She hated to miss out on anything. I couldn't keep up. I felt so guilty." Let go of feeling guilty about being you. It's important to explain to your children that you feel drained by too many activities, that you need breaks to recharge your energy in a way they may not. Help them to understand that you love being involved in their life, but that you have a different pace, sort of like the tortoise and the hare. Let them know you want to hear about their other activities, but make limits. For example, say you'll attend 2 sports events a month, which they can choose. I suggested to Nancy that she ask her daughter to tape record her week's activities and then give a report Sunday, maybe with a toy microphone, after dinner to the whole family. Call it Victoria's Week in Review. One client of mine, Kevin, couldn't understand why his son Josh didn't want to stay home more. The first words out of Josh's mouth when his dad picked him up at school were, "Where are we going?" When Kevin would say, "Home," Josh would groan and slump down in his seat. Kevin said, "And I'd feel like a bad parent. I couldn't understand why he didn't want to be with us." Don't take your children's temperament personally. They are not rejecting you. They want recharging. Remember, they are afraid of feeling drained, the same feeling you don't like. Say to your son, "I know you don't feel like going home. Let's sing all the way, or take turns finding the alphabet on street signs. You start with A." If he doesn't immediately agree, you start singing or playing the game. Most kids will join in. Give your extroverted children lots of approval. They may not appreciate what's positive about themselves and what seems obvious to you if you don't point out those qualities. Correcting the extroverted child. Like the weather, extroverted kids show a variety of emotional patterns, lots of highs and lows. Sometimes they are oblivious to other people's feelings. They can ignore a parent's anger. If you are angry with them, they may feel bad for a while because they like sunny approval. But unlike more introverted children, they may not give the incident a second thought. Like storm clouds that blow in and out, extroverted children may think the matter is over and done with. Impressing upon them what you are upset about is important. Talk to them in private and tell them the particular behavior you didn't like. Look them in the eye and sound firm. Keep your comments short and specific. For instance, I'm upset that you took the paintbrush away from Lindsay. Explain what will happen next. For example, I want you to apologize to her. She is going to finish using the brush, then it will be your turn. Later, in a non-blaming or non-critical way, ask your children if they have thought about other ways they could have handled that situation. Help them think through their actions. Don't get into an arguing match. Many extroverted children are quite verbal and may be able to out-talk you. Stay calm and in charge. Say, "I love you, but I didn't like what you did." Remind them we all need to think about our actions sometimes, even mom and dad. The team approach. Talking to your child about introversion. We worry about what a child will be tomorrow, yet we forget that he is someone today. Stasia Tosher. Begin when they are young to discuss with your introverted children how their bodies and minds work and how it's possible to manage them. In order to think, feel, and move, our bodies require energy. Talk with your children about how they gain their energy, their ability to feel good and full of get up and go. Explain that some people need a lot of private time to store up energy. Others gain their energy by going out into the world. Give an example from your personal experience about how you gain energy. Help your children talk about how their bodies feel. Teach them to take their temperament temperature. They can begin by noticing when they need rest or activity. Reflect back to them, "I saw you had fun at Chelsea's party, but you felt tired afterward. Did you notice that too?" Help them observe differences in other children. For instance, after the picnic, Taylor went to sleep on the way home and Sarah chatted and sang all the way. Their needs and temperaments are different. Minds work in different ways too. Explain to your child, "Some people think very quickly and often speak fast. Others, who are more like you, need to think over their reactions. If you have time to think, you know what you want to say. You also feel good. You feel good after focusing on your butterfly collection for hours. Other people get tired if they pay attention to something too long. They prefer being very busy." Develop a "we're a team" approach with your children. Anticipate and prepare them for situations that might be difficult. Discuss your temperament temperature and that of others in the family so that they understand there is no stigma about being introverted or extroverted. The trick is to help them understand themselves without developing avoidance as a way to cope. At times, they will feel overstimulated. You can encourage them to take deep breaths and to take breaks to calm themselves. Don't overprotect your children or expect them to manage alone. What they need most is a sense that they can brainstorm with you. If they think you understand their strengths and limitations, they will develop into mature adults. Develop an ongoing dialogue where you listen a lot with your children about the ups and downs of their energy. It is very empowering for them to feel you are working together. This is the greatest support you can give them to face the natural struggles of growing up. Introverted siblings can get lost in the shuffle. Most families have members all along the introvert-extrovert continuum. It is quite common, however, for a family to have one spirited extrovert who takes up a lot of airtime, leaving little space for more introspective children. If for any reason there is an imbalance in your family, it is crucial to protect introverted children from siblings who can dominate, squelch, or overshadow them. At the dinner table, make sure all the children have a turn to talk. Introverts feel uncomfortable about interrupting, so they may not join a family discussion. If they know they are going to have a turn, they can have time to prepare their thoughts. Help the facile talkers learn to wait for their slower-paced brother or sister. Don't let one sibling interrupt or talk for another. It's obvious that no child should be made fun of or humiliated for his or her communication style.